dust in our parks just for this year, in our county parks. And I think the city is, you know, certainly having that conversation, Alex, as well.
And that was Commissioner Lumen May. This is almost a month ago now, 3 weeks ago, when he was talking about, this is the shootings that had taken place at the Wedgewood Community Center with the, you know, the dice game that was going on out back, not really in the community center, during a basketball game. And I don't know what's been done exactly about this. I thought this had been put into place. The other commissioners were very supportive. Commissioner Bergosh, Commissioner Barrett, everyone was very supportive of wanting to cut down on, you know, bad behavior surrounding these athletic events. Pretty sad that the behavior around these athletic events is so bad that we have to cut down on them being done at night. In studio now with me, I have Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Chip, obviously the Pine Forest fights and related has been kind of in the news, but it reminded me of apparently what Commissioner May had wanted to do, which was to do this. By the way, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Good to have you.
Good to see you.
So have the games been, night games been stopped? What about the Pine Forest fights? Do you want people to know? A lot of times I feel like the altercations that take place at schools don't really make the news, but they might be fairly common. You know, I hear after the fact about things that, like, Wedgewood, you know, or not Wedgewood, but Warrington Middle, you know, that kind of stuff. That, so tell me what's really going on here so that I can understand it as a citizen.
Well, let's start with the Pine Forest fights that, yeah, that took place. Sometimes when you look at these high school games, there are teams that might be away, and so the fans that don't travel with those teams will go to other games. So sometimes you have a mix of other schools going to this one particular school's game.
Okay.
And I think that was a little bit in the mix at the Pine Forest high school game.
So it's people who want to go to a football game, their team is playing away, they'll come here to Pine Forest, but they're actually Escambia
people,
fans. Or,
yeah, and so sometimes there's some conflicts with that. And
I gotcha.
And we're aware of that. Our intelligence analysts take a look at that when we get that information. So they sold a lot of tickets to this particular game. The school staff and the deputies that were there did a good job of breaking up whatever kind of potential conflicts there were. The problem with this one was that they ushered them out to leave, and then they got into a fight in the middle of Longleaf, the road right there in front of Pine Forest.
In the road?
In the road. And so there's a lot of cell phones.
Like, how many people are we talking about?
I understand there were about a dozen fights.
Oh,
or
God.
So. You know, again, and these were all females. Apparently, all the fights involved females at this particular
So just
night.
Another Friday.
Well, I don't know if I can say that.
I mean, my goodness. Wow,
well, I mean,
okay.
You know, fights have been taking place at football games for
decades, as long as there's been football and kids, you know, right,
yeah.
Sure.
But this one, again, because I think it there was so many of them that they flared up here, flared up there. We did an affidavit yesterday for one of the combatants. And we'll be serving that warrant whenever it gets signed. But most of it, we just broke it up. It wasn't as much issue as people seem to think there was. But there were several fights, and I did have a conversation yesterday.
Did anybody get hurt badly?
Yeah, no minor. Well, again, not that was reported to us.
Okay.
No serious injuries.
Okay.
I had a conversation with Superintendent Keith Leonard yesterday. Mm-hmm. And we're on the same page. We're looking at different games, looking at avenues, and looking at security. We positioned two of our portable cameras at Pine Forest because, again, that was probably the most busy Friday night game. We actually had a portable light situation that we put out there also because there were some darkened areas.
Okay.
So we had some proactive activity that out there. Because the fight took place on Longleaf, our cameras were at the parking lot.
You couldn't predict
we
that.
We didn't
right.
catch that, but there were some video from some cameras. As you know, nowadays every fight is on someone's camera.
It's no fun if you can't stream it live.
Yeah, I mean, it just, I guess.
Thanks for the evidence.
look what happened here. So that's a Pine Forest situation, but we are looking at the other games and what you know, there could be potential with a large crowd. And again, we're going to continue to do what we do.
Is the night game, the at night game, part of the problem?
I don't know when you're going to have a high school.
When are you
going to
do a football game? What, during the day?
I think it's just
3 o'clock on a Friday.
The kids typically that I say kids. Some of them are certainly out of high school.
Yeah.
That think that they can just get away with this stuff, and that's why I told Channel 3 yesterday, when we identify someone that committed a crime, and this one person actually battered a deputy, didn't hurt the deputy, but pushed her, shoved her, hit mm-hmm. the deputy, that they're going to go to jail. And until they understand that this is not worth it, you will go to jail. We'll put cuffs on you. I don't care how old you are. Well, unless you're five or six, you know, but you're talking about teenagers, older teenagers, and early 20s. If you get into a fight and you don't listen to deputies, you're going to go to jail.
So this sounds a little different to me than what we saw at Wedgewood or what we've seen at other youth football, is it's the adults who attend more so than it is like participants or their friends. Am I right about that?
Yeah. I would say that.
And a lot of gambling, right? There's a lot of side gambling going on in the stands a lot of times. Sometimes that leads to fight. I'm not saying that's what happened at Wedgewood.
We hear that. But I
things
mean,
like that are kind of going on sometimes, right?
On which games?
At the youth games.
Probably all the games. But I would imagine that the youth games, and probably it happens like that at college games and pro games and everything. Yeah. But in regards to the youth football, again, this has been going on for 20-something years. I ran a ballpark for many years. Lumen and I have had many conversations about – in the past, we've even had our juniors. So juniors are the older of the kids. Those are 13, 14-year-olds.
Okay.
Just before they get played high school football. Some of them are even in high school. And the issue there is that so many people go to 5-year-old games. A lot more people go to 13, 14-year-old games. They're almost high school level, you know, really high level,
right,
level ball. And so, and that's at night, so people go to it. At one point, we had the juniors with the older kids playing first thing in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning. It didn't really work out, but this was probably 15, 20 years ago. So to Lumen's point, and we've had a conversation, including over the weekend, about what my thoughts were about not having the night games. I think you should do everything you can to not have a night game. These games are always on Saturdays. People are off work. Sometimes they're drinking all day long, and then they end up going, what is there to do? If there's college football, it's fine, but if not, they can go to a real game and they can watch a game live. So he asked my opinion. My opinion is you should be able to work this to where you do not have a game at night. The game should end up around dusk and go and filter people out.
Okay. Yeah, no, interesting, because it seems like we've actually got a couple of different, maybe similar problems, but they're not the same problem. And each case depends on the age, depends on the nature of the event. That's interesting nuance to me. I appreciate that. We're talking to Chip Simmons. He's Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Let's get John in here for Traffic on the Fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now. Traffic is flowing smoothly in those areas. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. In other news in Escambia County law enforcement, there was a shooting. It took place at North S Street and Lloyd that led to a chase in a pit. And there was a kid. Is that right, in the car?
Yeah, sadly, a kid. It was an infant in the car. Someone calls our dispatcher, and you can hear it on the dispatch. I heard it yesterday, and they say, hey, there's a lady that's getting out of her car, and she's firing into this group of people. In fact, the dispatcher can be heard saying, was that shots? And she says, yeah, that was shots fired. So as they're talking to the dispatcher, they're giving a description, a female, and they're driving a dark-colored or a black SUV, and they're leaving. Our deputies, to their credit, are in the area quickly. They see the car. They try to stop it. It doesn't stop. So we have a suspect of an aggravated assault at the least, which is a dangerous felony. Someone's shooting. So we do a pit maneuver.
You said firing into a crowd?
Into a group of people. That's what the call was.
So a drive-by.
They stopped. I think it was an argument or disagreement.
Okay.
And then she retrieved a gun, and then she went.
But from a car or from near a car anyway?
Just outside the car.
Got
it. And then got back in the car and fled away. That's why we had a pretty good description. That's when our deputy got behind a black SUV with a female driver, which is exactly what the description was. Turned lights on, didn't want to stop. We did a pit. There was a guy wired that they pitted into, and the car actually rolled over.
Oh, okay.
So our deputies get there, and we find two adults, one female and one male. And then to our surprise, there was an infant that seemed to be okay. The car was upside down, but the female was holding the infant and handed it to our deputies. And then obviously all three of them were checked out, and no one had any injuries that we could tell. We did find some fentanyl, a little bit of marijuana, and we found a gun. And so they'll be
good
charged accordingly.
Lord. With a kid in the car.
It's funny because
you can get accustomed, unfortunately, to hearing that, well, somebody got out and shot into a crowd. Oh, you know, it's Tuesday. Well, I mean, it's a horrible thing. And somehow the bizarre part of this is that you had to pit him and there was a kid in the car. Of course, you didn't know about that. But, man, I just... as a parent, I can't imagine, you know?
Yeah, I mean, again, the deputies don't know who's in the car at the
right time.
What they do believe is there's an individual there with a gun and that was willing to use that gun. And so that's what they knew at the time. And they, again, they were only going 35, 40 miles an hour at the time, but the car did roll over.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, it seemed like a low-speed rollover
type
of thing. But fortunately for everyone, certainly the infant that was involved in there was a car seat in the car, and I don't know if the child was in the car seat or not, but I hope so, and that's why the infant didn't have any injuries or didn't appear to
have any
injuries. We'll
assume that's the case, man. Meanwhile, you also had this drug house kind of incident, Talladega. Somehow a machete is involved, and you had been to this house before. Tell us what's going on here.
So let me back up a little bit. For months now, we've been hearing complaints about this. When I say drug house, they don't seem to be selling large amounts of drugs. You know, there is users are there. About 6 weeks ago or so, we finally we were able to get probable cause for a search warrant. So we go there to serve a search warrant. And there's like 23 people in the house. There's the garage is completely full of junk, the epitome of a nuisance home.
Junk like debris, not junk just, like heroin.
Yeah. Okay. Junk like debris. Okay. So when we're there, I actually drove by on the way into work, and there's just people coming out, and they look to me like users of drugs, and this is early in the morning still. And when I say we kicked the door, we actually had to tear down the garage door because we couldn't get into the garage to check it to make sure there's no one in there that we're hiding. While we're there, two people overdosed. So we had to Narcan two people at 7 o'clock in the morning during a search warrant. So fast forward a couple days ago, we had an overdose death there at that location. And then we had this report of an individual that alerted someone in the neighborhood, say, hey, you need to go check on those people. We get there. And there's one person killed from what looks like a machete or a hatchet of some sort.
Oh, God.
And then there's another male that was seriously injured, and at this point he's still alive. But that's what we're dealing with now. So typically when these nuisance houses are surface, we work with code enforcement because code enforcement can ultimately set liens, and then the county can file for the house to get settle their liens.
Yeah.
The sheriff's office can't do that, so we've kind of worked with code enforcement, but there's another avenue, and so I've directed our legal team, which they did a good job yesterday, of submitting a letter that says you're being declared a nuisance. Just so you know, your house is a nuisance, and you need to stop doing this. Then ultimately there'll be another letter that I'll send that'll say you got so many days to abate this thing, and then after that, there's an injunction, and then after that, there's potential liens to the county. Again, it's kind of a convoluted thing, but the bottom line is we're not going to tolerate this kind of stuff anymore. We're going to do what we can legally to get this house, this nuisance, this ongoing criminal activity abated, and that's where we're at.
You know, the one thing I wonder for a lot of people that might be helpful to tell them is if you've got a house in your area that is a drug house, okay, what would they expect to see? You know, because I mean, sometimes it's fairly obvious, other times it might not be as obvious, but what kind of signs? Because there's a lot of our listeners are out walking and they see stuff, you know, and neighbors see stuff, right? What would you want them to notice and then give you guys a call if they see?
Well, I think it starts with the traffic that's there, the sheer number of people. Now, it's not illegal to have people at your house. It's not illegal to entertain. It's not illegal to have barbecues. It's not right. illegal to have all that. But there's more to it than that. There are people that come for a minute and leave. There's loud ruckus. There's fights. There's overdoses. All this kind of stuff is something that is purely a nuisance. Mm-hmm. And this house is the epitome of such.
Some are more obvious than others.
Yeah, but again, what we tell people is that we have to have probable cause to search, and just because they're out in front and looks like they're doing drugs or high on drugs doesn't mean that we can go inside and search it. And what's valuable about searching it inside is because people tend to hide their drugs inside, and when we get their drugs, we can arrest somebody. Typically, we'll arrest the person responsible, whether it's the owner of the house, whether it's the renter of the house, someone's in charge of that. In this case, we made a couple of arrests, but it was for user quantity type of drugs, and then they would just keep coming because there were so many people, probably – you know, 23 we got it that morning, but probably a lot more than that actually come there during the course of a week or so. So this one was continuing because, quite frankly, the owner wasn't taking control of it. And I'm not even sure if the owner was there at the time of search warrant. So that's why we're writing these certified letters to make sure the owner is aware that house is not fit for the neighborhood.
Very good. Well, we had actually two others to get to. We just do not have time to do it today, so we'll have to wait for next week. But fairly interesting stories. Chip Simmons, Scambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, look, it's a complex landscape that your folks have to police and navigate the law and, as you say, code enforcement and trying to help neighbors and, you know, having to deal with everything from showing up to a football game where, you know, women are fighting in the street to a woman who gets out with a kid in the car and shoots into a crowd to a group of people who are, you know, getting macheted in a drug house. I mean, it's, I don't know, the stuff you deal with is, and we didn't even talk about the naked lady outside. I mean, like, yeah. You know, stuff happens and you guys and gals have to deal with it. So I appreciate the complexity and difficulty of the task, and I appreciate the law enforcement work that y'all do, and always the information, sir. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you. The credit certainly goes to the men and women that do the work out there every day and every night.
Amen to that.